In the Gospel, our blessed Savior tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, which a man having found, hid it, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Last week, we remembered that a good tree brings forth good fruit. Today, it is the root of Jesse, blossoming first in good Saint Anne, who gave birth to the Mother of God. Anne means grace, and in her womb was conceived immaculately Mary, who is full of grace. In the lesson, we're told that she, Saint Anne, considered a field and bought it, and with the fruit of her hands, and planted a vineyard, whose grapes, in the winepress of the Passion, will finally yield blood, the precious blood of redemption. Anne's daughter, the new Eve, offers man the blessed fruit of her womb to cancel out the food of death. Eternal life is ours. Jesus, grandson of Anne, the son of Mary. See how the whole setting of the story of our salvation is worked out in the hidden field of family life. Jesus, the gospel now, the merchant who finds you a treasure hidden in this field, and for joy he goes and he sells all that he has and causes himself to be sold as well, and he fetches only 30 pieces of silver. He gives all that he has. He gives his body, the last drop of his blood in the Passion, and that not only his divinity to be obscured and, as it were, taken away, but his humanity hidden too, everything hidden. He is a worm and no man. He is a slave of no account, condemned to a slave's death on the cross. He pays all to purchase you. You are his treasure. You know that, don't you? So, he found you in a field, but what a treasure it is for us, even as it is a tyranny from those who are above us, to be these days ourselves a bit like him, I mean, hidden and enslaved beneath your anonymous mask. They want you to surrender your personality permanently. Our face, from now on, must be hidden. It is the mark of the beast come before its time. To buy or to sell or to travel or to visit, you must hide yourself in some filthy field of pathogens, the quickly soiled diaper. And fast, not indeed from food and drink. In fact, I know someone who uses that as a strategy away from the mask because it's acceptable to eat and drink strolling about in public today, and they haven't figured out a way that you could do them all at the same time, so you're dispensed from the mask for a bit. But oxygen, you're meant to fast from that and just obey and disappear. Stay tuned. We'll tell you what's next. I think the 30 pieces of silver will be disappearing fairly soon. And then, of course, the persecution. But I tell you this, it is a share in Christ's Passion you are living. St. Mark says they veiled, they covered over his holy face. And today, each one of us, in some almost profound way, begin to live out in our lives the Passion of the church, hidden, not seen anymore for a long time. Her beauty and her strength are seemingly gone. Her worship, forbidden or limited severely by decree. That's always the way. And this is done by whom? By the conservative justices we voted for good Republicans for, so that we would have an excellent judiciary. And the closings, along with the maskings, to deprive you of your you, of that which is dearer, though, than life itself, and dearer to you than you, must be your faith and your mass. And the plan is permanently to force you to hide behind the mask, that most prominent part of your physiognomy. And then this comes boldly, a slap in the face of utter absence of evidence or of necessity, now that the mild flu has disappeared pretty much. The enemy is politicians and the unelected bureaucrats ramp up the lies to render you a fear-ridden servant of the state, to make you to be not only voiceless, but faceless. How to process this incredible imposition through which we pass? How to deal with this change? Well, each one will have his own way. Some might do a Father Cicada and you just walk boldly by and you say, no, thank you. And others might try a reasoned and quiet argument. And others will simply leave or depart. Some might take the mask with a big smile and say, thank you, and then just drop it into the cart. Some might put it on for a moment and then pull it down beneath the nose of the mouth. After all, you are having trouble breathing, and who's some employee to judge the state of your health? But what they seek is the solace of that momentary obedience, the grain of incense, and above all, no trouble. So many ways today for citizens and Catholics to resist the great reset, the communist revolution imposed by these cowardly politicians who are our foes, and the conservatives are the traitors most of all, with their cold legalism, which is worse, I think, than the government-created barbarians engaging in government-tolerated rioting in our streets. Remember this when you're out in public and they want your conformity. A little righteous anger might encourage someone else, but then again, a kind word, the enforcers are afraid too, and a smile. At the lesson today, sung by our seminarian, we heard that Saint Anne laughed that she smiled on the latter day. We've won the victory already. Never forget that. And remind somebody else of this truth. Don't take the bad guys too seriously. Deny them that. They will find that very frustrating. Which brings me to a spiritual approach. Who's the patron saint of masks and hidden faces? You knew there had to be one. And in this sermon, have we gone too far afield, do you think, from good Saint Anne, who considered the field and bought it? With all of this talk about hiding? No, because she's a saint for today. She exemplifies, this wife and mother and grandmother does, the hidden life, the home life, which makes society to hang, to adhere together. It is the rejection of the hidden life over many years, which now leads to the hidden face that you must show in public. The rejection long ago, before drugs and gender theory and the decrees of the supremes and all of the godless everything around us. All of that first led, that rejection did, to the masks imposed to suppress your you. Remember that, your identity. On some level, this is a call for us again as Christians to withdraw from a wicked world, to be hidden with Christ in God. In our, of course, you must be out and shop and work, survive that way, but family and church and a good school or a home school and good friends, these are the blessings that enable you to hide and survive with your treasure. But more, to plunge yourself into the passion of Christ. You have little choice. They're doing it for you. His passion is our peace, prayer. So who's the patron saint of the hidden face and of masks? I think it is Saint Therese, the little flower. She understood this about the holy face. Our Lord's beauty was entirely hidden in his face because of the blood and the beatings and the swollen eye and the sweat and the spittle. And the spittle was hardest to bear of all because it is utter contempt. In the stations, we have brave Veronica, who ignores the soldiers, you know. She breezes right past them, this little lady does, boldly about her business to wipe, to refresh his holy face, which is then bequeathed through her to us, Veronica's veil, and a second time, 3 days later, at the miracle of the Holy Shroud, the resurrection. Saint Therese, I think, is a modern-day Veronica, not only by her devotion and her reparation to the holy face, the treasure hidden in the field, but for her seemingly effortless bravery. What are the means that she used to hide herself and all of the sacrifices she made in plain sight so that nobody even noticed or took count of her, to hide her daily struggle? Great suffering, all hidden in Christ. Well, it all went under the mask, and the mask for her was her smile, as though she were breezing through life effortlessly, like Veronica on her way to our Lord at that station. In the meanwhile, tuberculosis was slowly stealing her strength and her lungs and even her breath. Her father, Louis Martin, is an encouragement these demented days. He suffered from dementia, you know, and he was hospitalized for a while, and back then that was considered, for the bourgeoisie, a terrible social stigma. She saw that was going to come when she was a girl. Remember when she saw a vision of her father in the backyard and he had a veil over his face, and then sometimes when he got sick, he actually did cover his head with a towel. The covered face of Christ, the simple smile of a great saint, the little things in the midst of intense suffering, all hidden beneath a smile for God. A veil which conceals the struggle in the solitude and the heroism, but reveals God's love. You've got to let that show. And St. Anne, who was hidden from the world and gave birth to her who gave the world its salvation, but in secret at first and got known only slowly. These are good devotions for a day which has forgotten God, but has not forgotten to rob one thing from us, one last thing. It wants our smile. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.